5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. Strap in.
Opportunity. So, you know, I this is one of those things where if you're a Cubs fan, you never honestly thought you were going to get this chance. I will say this, from what I've heard, the Indians are not going to have a home crowd advantage. It sounds like Cubs tickets came
50,000. Johnson, are you listening to yourself? 50,000. Do you know what kind of party you could throw for 50 G's?
I mean, it'll seem a lot more worth it. Auburn Oregon game.
I paid $3,000, and that was with me thinking, that was the whole trip, thinking that they may never be back, and then, what, 3 years later they make it back. But the Cubs are going to be back probably for the next few times. I mean, $50,000?
I mean, Cubs fans.
The guy's probably on food stamps too. If I had to guess, he probably doesn't work on food stamps.
I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of yeah. I'm looking at the crowd shots. This looks like a very heavy Cubs crowd.
They're going to win.
Standing room tickets were 1,000. And that should tell you a lot right there.
If you want to take a piss in this stadium, you pay $1,000. I mean, $1,000. Look, go buy a big screen TV and watch it for the grand. You know, I mean, come on, it's baseball. $50,000. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not rich, so I can't pay that. But, I mean, the guy's obviously wealthy, but he's not very intelligent, you know. But I guess if you're a fanatic and the Cubs just went deep on the first pitch, it looked like. not the first pitch. It's gone. Oh, the guy caught it. Did he catch it? No, home run. Dexter Fowler. Just wow.
What a
lead. This is going to be an onslaught right here, man. The Cubs, this is 5,000 years of frustration coming down. This is like Noah coming out of the ark after the rain quit. This is what we're talking about here. And I'm excited. I mean, what are the ratings going to be tonight, Jonathan? I'm going to say, yeah, probably the most watched World Series game ever will be tonight.
Yeah, I could definitely see this being the most watched game in Major League history. Comparing it to some of the big-time sporting events, you know, a lot of people are going to be at home. They're going to be watching the game. This couldn't have been a better matchup for Major League Baseball. You get two teams who historically just haven't had a shot. And every time they come close, seem to fall apart. And they're finally there. There's Cubs fans everywhere. That's one of the greatest things. And everybody you know, Cubs fans may not realize it, but there's a huge population out there watching this game hoping the Indians win just because you like having the Cubs as losers. And there's a lot of people who don't like the fan base with the way that they've handled the success this year. So this is great. This is what I've been waiting for all year. You know, 2 years ago I said the Cubs were going to be in the World Series sometime between 2016 and 2018,
yes,
and here it is.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I remember. And I laughed when you said it. I remember laughing when you said it, too. here's an infield single for the second guy. That was a bang-bang play at first. I mean, how can you – I mean, I know there's a lot of bandwagon Cubs fans here, but it's just like in life. It beats you down. It beats you down for 3 or 4 hours tonight. You get to celebrate with a team you have no affiliation with whatsoever. I mean, you can be happy about something because, let me tell you, he was safe. Good call up. It's a replay. Look good. But I'm happy for him. I hope they win. The Indians, you know, they can win another one in another 80 years from now. But right now, I think for the next 3 years, the Cubs are going to be in this discussion. Just think how young they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you look at this team. You have Kyle Schwarber, who just, like, got that infield hit that they drafted 2 years ago. You got Chris Bryant. You have Addison Russell. You have Javier Baez. You know, you still have Wilson Contreras. There's guys in the outfield like Almora and Soler. The pitching staff is all relatively young, and the Cubs have more bats, you know, in the system. I mean, they just traded Gleyber Torres because he's a shortstop. Where are you going to put him? You know, you have Addison Russell. Well, maybe you put him at second. We have Javier Baez. We'll move Baez to third. We have Chris Bryant. I mean, this team is just stacked. They've done a great job of building. I mean, hats off to Theo Epstein here, who's proving to be one of the best general managers in sports in general.
Well, let's not overlook Francona, what he's done at Cleveland, too. I mean, another Boston guy, right? I mean, they know how to win. And it's just, they bring that winning mentality. Quinn, I mean, what would you pay to watch the White Sox win a game, much less the World Series game?
I don't know. I mean, I went to the – in 2005, I was at Game 1 of the World Series. My mom got tickets through that, and I was on the first baseline just a couple rows up. So I had really good seats. But, yeah, I don't know how much they cost.
How old were you, two?
2005, I'm 21 now, so I would have been 9 years old.
Okay. That's just a waste of a ticket, if you ask me, Jonathan, for a kid that age to be in a World Series.
No, I remember it.
Yeah, but you got to earn it. I saw some kids at the Auburn National Championship game, Jonathan, in Glendale. And I'm just sitting there thinking, those bastards. I've been here on this earth for, what was it, 35 years, and I'm finally getting to see that this guy's eight and he's over here with a $1,000 ticket. Are you kidding me? But it's just something that I just love. You know, Jonathan, I didn't go to bed last night like I told you. I did peek in and watch the Cubs and the Indians play, and I have a feeling tonight I'll be watching the celebration if they can pull it off, or even the celebration if the Indians win will be pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was talking to a good buddy earlier, and the discussion we had was we won a Game 7 along the lines of 2001 when the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees. You know, we won a game like that. That was so good. That had everything in it, I mean, including a walk-off. You know, and it was one of those things where it's like either we want the Cubs to win this game, but it wouldn't be a tight game. We were looking at that wild card game, the American League played, and go, you give me an extra inning Game 7 World Series, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching in it, it's hard to predict because I see the Cubs' bats getting hot and just going off. Win three in a row, just like the Cavs did against Golden State coming back 3-1, but I could also see the pitcher settling down a little bit and locking in and for a game. Okay, when it starts getting tight, when do you think it starts getting tighter in this game? About the sixth inning, you look up and see the Cubs and you get that 1-0 lead. Is that when it starts? I think seventh inning around that. Oh my God, I'm choking away. I think about the seventh is when you're throwing a lot of pressure. I bet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the jokes I saw today was, you know, the Indians are going to lose this because all Cleveland fans spent the whole offseason talking about how Golden State blew a 3-1 lead, and now the Indians are going to do the same thing. But, yeah, I mean, I'm eyeballing this, and you're right. I think once you get later into the game, you know, Kluber settles down, and he's been great this whole postseason. He's looking to become the first pitcher to win games 1, 4, and 7 in a World Series since Mickey Lolich, I believe it was back in the 60s. So, I mean, you know, what Kluber's trying to accomplish tonight is downright amazing. You know, but you're right. I mean, if you're going to hit a point in this game where they're going to start getting tight, you're going to start worrying, oh, my goodness, are we really going to lose this game if they're still down, let's say, 6th, 7th inning? So, you know, it's not, you know, a leadoff home run to get it all going. I mean, that thing just got out. You know, that's one way
that
to really a great start to the game. Let's see if the fireworks continue.
Well,
I hope so.
I think it takes the pressure off of people. I think, you know, you're sitting around, you're on the road, game 7, the leadoff batter Fowler hits it out. And I think it just sends a breath of fresh air that says, hey, we're leading this game. We can actually win this thing. I mean, it's just sometimes, you know, as an athlete in sports, you look around, okay, who's going to make the play? Who's going to make it? You never look at yourself in the mirror. You're always looking at somebody else. And I think the monkey's off their back now. And I think this is going to be a phenomenal game, phenomenal matchup. And Fox got lucky, man. They're getting some great football games every Sunday. They're getting some great baseball. They've got the Cubs. I mean, the ratings are just out of this world right now. You think Hillary and Donald's a good rating, a good TV, excellent TV right now. Well, at the end of the first half of the inning, the Indians got out of it. You know, the infield hit 1-0 Cubs, and we'll see how Fowler right now. If the Cubs win, say 3-1 or something, and they never trail, see the MVP. You have to give him MVP if he gave him the lead and never surrendered it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how this MVP thing is going to shape out because I don't think there's been really one dominant player this whole series. I mean, you know, we saw how the Indians shut down the Cubs' bats completely. We've seen the Cubs shut down the Indians' bats completely. And this is so awesome. This really is. You know,
I
love how Fox has the cameras at Wrigleyville. Which I gotta imagine is going ballistic right now. I can only imagine how Cuervo is feeling being a Cubs fan.
Yeah, I can. I wish you'd call in, but I know we don't talk a lot of baseball. But for game 7 with the Cubs, I'm willing to talk a little baseball. But, all right, we'll come back to the game, but. After last my rankings came out, we got a chance to digest it. What are your thoughts now about what you saw last night from the committee?
Well, you know, the more I've thought about it, the more I've looked at it and go, they really like Ohio State if Penn State's number 12.
Thank you.
We saw what Michigan did to Penn State, and we saw Pitt beat Penn State. And, you know, they must really, really, really like Ohio State if they're going to give Penn State the 12th spot. I think this team also really likes Auburn. You know, for them to be ranked at 8, and they're like, well, you know, they're ranked ahead of, Nebraska. 9, my bad. Auburn at 9, you know, they have them ranked ahead of teams with less losses. I think they really like Auburn. Just like I think, you know, you and I and Quentin, you know, we've talked about how good Auburn is because they're looking at those losses to Clemson and A&M, and then they're looking at the wins against Arkansas and against Ole Miss and against LSU and going, those are two different teams. I mean, completely. What the Auburn in October is nowhere close to the Auburn of September. So
yeah. You beat them by 53 points. I think that stood out a lot too. The way they beat Arkansas, the way they beat Ole Miss, and the way, you know, they couldn't score a touchdown against LSU, but they found a way to win. But you put something out funny this show. You talk about the SEC East. Out of the main, out of the FBS Power Five conferences, Quinn, the SEC East is dead last, really. You've got the SEC West 1, the ACC Atlantic and Coastal 2 and 3, which is impressive. The Big Ten East 4. Everybody talks about how bad the Big Ten East, how they're just so dominant. The Pac-12 South, the Pac-12 North, the Big 12, the Big Ten West, the SEC East. Pretty bad. But you're behind the Big Ten West. I mean, that's bad, Jonathan. And this will be Florida at 11. Really? I mean, no wins whatsoever against anybody. And they all of a sudden they're number 11 on one loss. They're one loss coming down. That's a great team right now that's falling apart. And I just don't get it. They beat Vanderbilt by a touchdown. They beat Kentucky. Well, go Gators, I guess. And they beat Georgia, a team that can't run for 2 yards. So I'm really, when I look at these rankings, I'm more surprised at Florida being number 11 than I am anybody.
I mean, I know I'm supposed to be surprised by Florida at number 11, but I'm not. I saw it coming as much as I hated seeing it. The Big Ten East is it's interesting because you have Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State who are carrying it right now because Michigan State is, what, 0-5 in conference, and they have Rutgers who is downright terrible. The Big Ten East is really a boom or bust division. Whereas, like, if you look at the ACC Atlantic, right, you have Clemson and Louisville, you have Florida State and North Carolina State, you know, and then, you know, you kind of go to your bottom tiers. And then in the Coastal, which has always been a really weird ultra-competitive division, but nobody's ever really that good, you know, you have Virginia Tech and North Carolina. You have your Pittsburgh and Miami. You know, you have Virginia, who has shown, even though they can't win a game, they've shown that they're a pesky enough team to hang around. And, you know, it's amazing to me. People are like, well, what's the best conference? You're like, well, if you look at this, top to bottom, it's the ACC. And they got the second and third best division. But, it's just who has the better teams right now? And you're like, well, it's probably the SEC.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you actually dissect that, and you're like, are we sure? Oh.
Yeah. It's nasty. I mean, I mean, that West. And I'm even going to say, I know you guys hate hearing this, but Ole Miss, if they play a team that's not a power running team, they'll probably kill them. And you saw Georgia, they came out, they couldn't run the football really with their offensive line, and Georgia, Ole Miss beat them by 40. Quinn, that SEC West is so far ahead of the rest of the country that the East is dragging it down. And like Jonathan said, you got both of your divisions in the ACC are 2 and 3 overall. That has to carry a lot of weight. I mean, ACC should get a lot of credit when it comes to the team. You know, you put one team against the other. You put a team in the Pac-12 South against the Atlantic, ACC Coastal or Atlantic. I mean, that should matter, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think in the SEC West, Ole Miss has a dangerous offense, but I look at Mississippi State and they're terrible.
Yeah.
I would say in the SEC West, there's one dangerous offensive team, three really good teams, and one good team. I'd say the three really good teams are Bama, Auburn, and LSU, and the good team is A&M. So, I mean, yeah, I would say it's the best division, but I wouldn't say it's so far ahead of the rest. But, I mean, you look at the ACC, and there's really only two really good teams, and then you could put Florida State, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina all into the good team category.
Well, Clemson is pretty good. I mean, look, SEC West has 16 that could probably win the conference when the season started. There's 5-6. That's what matters to me when I look at it. Like, when you look at the ACC Atlantic, there's 3 teams right there. How many teams in there, Jonathan? 14? So there's 17. There's 3 that can win up there. And then the other side, there's really 9. I mean, honestly, even ACC, even Miami, Virginia Tech, none of them would. But I look at who could win the SEC. Like looking at it, the East doesn't count anymore. It's a bad. Like, no East team is ever going to be the West team ever again. I mean, that may be what I'm projecting. I mean, before the season, you had LSU picked in the playoffs. You had Alabama picked in a lot of people's playoffs. You had Ole Miss, a dark horse, right there at 10-2. You had Arkansas being pretty good. Am I saying that right? I mean, when you look at the SEC West, when 6 of the 7 teams can win that conference, you're either, I mean, to me, that's very balanced. And you have to be good to be in that category. So that's why I say the West is the best. And with other teams like the Big Ten, you know, you have Ohio State and Michigan, that's it. I mean, not even the other side has a shot to win. So there's 2 teams out of 14 that can win in the Big Ten, but there's like 6 in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the SEC West is a damn good division. And the S&P numbers prove it. I mean, I want to say their S&P rating was a 25.4, and then the ACC Atlantic came at a 39. That tells you how big the separation is. So I want to say there's more separation between those two than there is between, let's say, 2 through 5. You know, it's insane. When you really break it down and stare at it, you're like, wow. You know, they're clearly superior. And then the SEC East, of course, is at 59. So you're looking at a 34-point difference, which is a huge difference.
Well, Jonathan, they said you could add – the SEC East is so bad that the league could add 3 and 5 a day and watch the average ranking go up. That's pretty bad. I want to just go to the standings. I know we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we have to – bash the SEC East because you have a lot of SEC fans that are from them. They come in there and try to get on the side of the West and, you know, SEC, SEC. Here we go. Florida's 4-1. Kentucky 4-2. Tennessee 2-3. No, that's a conference record. 2-3. Overall, 6-1 Florida, 5-3 Kentucky, 5-3 Tennessee. 4-4 Georgia, 4-4 South Carolina, 4-4 Vanderbilt, 6-6 Missouri. But if you look at that, though, if you look at that, what we just talked about, Quinn, every team is 500 or above the 6 in Missouri. So, I mean, what's a conference? Vanderbilt's 1-3 with a win over Georgia, Missouri's 0-4, South Carolina 2-4, Georgia 2-4, Tennessee 2-3, Kentucky 4-2, and Florida 4-1. When is the East as bad as we're talking about, or those FCS schools count, make them better?
It still is really bad. I think it just proves it because a lot of teams are right around 500, and a lot of them have beaten an FCS school or two of them to get to be that record. So it's still really bad.
Well, Jonathan, you know, I think Florida against Alabama, Bama, Kentucky, A&M's favorite. I would say Auburn over Tennessee, LSU over Georgia, Arkansas over South Carolina, Mississippi State over Vanderbilt, and MS over Missouri. I think the SEC goes 7-0 in those matchups. You think? The SEC West.
Yeah, I mean, I could easily see that. The SEC East is just so pitiful. And, if you look at the crossover games, and that is so telling when you look at the crossovers. And if you look at the crossover games, you're like, whoa, like the SEC West is dominating right now. And that tells you where the clear cut is. You know, we're all sitting here going, Florida's going to lose to Arkansas and LSU. And it's like, well, those are only 2 SEC West games. That tells you a lot right there, that maybe the best team in the SEC East, 0-2 against the SEC West. Tennessee, 0-2 against the SEC West. You know, Kentucky lost to Alabama. You know, I mean, these teams just can't, they can't hang with them. You know, and that I don't know how the talent disparity got so bad, but it did, because you would think the other, you know, a lot of these teams in the East would be able to kind of rise up and take some recruits. It's like, hey, we don't play Alabama every year. Like, do you want to play Alabama every year? No, they're a juggernaut. So come play for us, and you ain't got to deal with Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Ole Miss.
And I'm surprised that Florida has favored over Arkansas. Arkansas is 1-3 conference right now. Arkansas is coming to the SEC West. I mean, maybe it's just perception, Jonathan, but just think, you're the best team in the East, and you're playing less than an upset over a 1-3 team in the conference. I mean, it shows you right there that if you're playing the fifth best team in the West, I think the sixth best team, and you're not even best team in the West. But if you put Alabama playing Vanderbilt, you know, you got a 35-40 points playing offers. We won't spend all our time talking about that, but there is a big difference between the SEC West and East, and I just think Florida's about to come to us. But I'll tell people, if you want to see Tennessee get back and come back alive, and we'll talk about this in a minute, all the problems going on. If Arkansas somehow beat Florida, and I know Tennessee plays Tennessee Tech, I think that's a lot of fire in Tennessee, knowing that Florida has to go to Baton Rouge. And again, Tennessee seems to control it all best for me if that happens. I think that would fire Tennessee out, don't you, if Florida loses Arkansas?
I mean, before the year, I thought Arkansas beat Florida. Arkansas played so well in November under Bielema. I mean, obviously, this just became a lot of the tougher months for Florida. You lose to Arkansas, then you got to go to LSU the week before you play Florida State. You know, this season, all of a sudden, you're sitting there going, whoa, 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 this wasn't supposed to be this hard. And that's kind of the sad thing, is Florida fans are like, well, the schedule wasn't supposed to be this difficult at the end of the year. Joke's on you. You know, I mean, sorry, but not. Florida's got a tough road ahead. Their offense looks atrocious. I think their defense is taking advantage of playing some bad teams. At least offensive teams. I mean, you know, I wouldn't consider Kentucky or Vanderbilt a juggernaut offensively, not Georgia either. You know, their best offensive team they've played is probably Tennessee, and Tennessee's really not that good of an offense and killed them. They couldn't stop the pass, and that's the one thing Tennessee cannot do against anybody else. They were able to throw all over Florida in the second half. So, you know, I really think that Florida has some serious issues coming up. I think Austin Allen's going to have a really big day against them. I think he throws for 300 yards plus, maybe even 400, and Arkansas wins this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to jump it. I think the run game, the traditionally embarrassed by 53 points. Jonathan said it that under Brett Bielema in November, Arkansas is almost unbeatable the way they play. And I just think Florida's offense on the road to struggle with the ball, even on Arkansas, because they just can't establish the run. They can throw the ball well, just push the run. What do you think of this game? This is a big game on the weekend, and it could really hurt the SEC overall, but it could also not out of the race right now.
Yeah, I think Arkansas wins, and I think they win handily. I think Florida's defense will get worn out, and then I just think Florida's offense isn't good enough to really put up any points, even on a not-so-good Arkansas defense.
So why is Florida favored 5? I think it opened up at like 2, and now publicly it's up to 5 already. There's something happened to cause it to go up to 5. Jonathan, do you want to get Florida lines at 5?
Well, there's a lot of Florida love right now. Florida, like we've talked about, has not had a tough schedule, so it's not like they're beaten up coming into this game. Arkansas has not shown through the year that their defense is adequate. And people, you know, there's a lot of love for Florida's defense. People think Florida's defense is one of the best in the nation. I think they're sadly mistaken. They're looking at a team that hasn't played anybody. So people are going to lean on Florida because they watched people still think Florida is a really good running team. And they watched Auburn run all through Arkansas. And they're like, oh, well, you know, Arkansas can't stop the run. Well, Florida is not that good running the ball this year. Their offensive line is not getting that good of a push. And that's the one thing where it's like, there's Arkansas's weakness. Well, that's Florida's weakness. I mean, we're not going to sit there and say, Missouri is the same thing. No, Missouri is not even close to Arkansas. Arkansas is so much better than Missouri.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, Florida hasn't been overpowering any game running the football. But one thing that allowed Auburn to run the ball was the threat of the actions throwing the ball. You have to give some respect to the SEC for the efficient passer. Florida doesn't have that, Jonathan. And I think Arkansas is going to load the box up. They're going to side run. Florida may hit the play or something in the game, but it's not going to be enough to go on the road and beat Arkansas. It's in there. Little way back if you don't get them. I mean, first half of two to Arkansas, give them a second and manageable first and manageable. They're going to eat you up all throughout the whole round. Now, in this place, the kids tough. They're due for a win right now. They need it to become eligible. So I'm going to go with Arkansas. So that's easy for me. We'll see what happens. Gary and Byrne will be doing the talk. Next on the list, new kickoff. It's kind of scary after. That's two big wins from Auburn. Auburn wins up 20, now they're 20-point favorite over Vanderbilt. But Vanderbilt can't miss this game. The new kick is scary. Auburn has a tendency to have not played well. I just don't think Vanderbilt can have the offense to be able to make this close. I mean, if they had an offense, it would be different. They can't score many points, I don't think.
No, I mean, Vanderbilt's had a very good defense led by Zach Cunningham, who, you know, late first, early second round pick from the looks of it right now. But their offense is poor. And what's going to happen is Vanderbilt's defense is going to get left out there too long. This is going to be a close game for a half. And then you're going to see the blowout begin. It's obviously it's a lot of points. But I don't think Vanderbilt can hang around too long. In this game, their defense is just going to get gassed.
But did you see a 10-3 half score or something like that, and then all of a sudden it's 24-3, and then right around that Auburn could pack on a touchdown at the end of the night? Quinn, what do you like?
Yeah, I think Auburn will literally not have to show up for this game in order to lose. I think as long as Auburn doesn't overlook them, which it sounds like in Gus's press conferences, they're not. So I think if Auburn shows up and plays Auburn football, I think they blow them out. And you're kind of cutting out a little bit, Tarvin. Like, I haven't been able to hear you too well. Just thought I'd let you know.
How about that?
Yeah, you've been on the
phone. Why don't y'all say something? Damn. I mean, say something. I'll call back.
It's fun to surprise you sometimes.
Well, I'm usually the one that says something.
I'll just fight through it, and I'll hear every third word and be like, oh, I know what he's saying here. I'm wrong sometimes. Like, I had no idea he was talking about Auburn playing Vanderbilt. I didn't know Auburn was playing Vanderbilt this week.
You doing it?
One more time. Hey, look, that's better.
You sound better.
Tell me, anytime you know that, please let me know. Yes. Sometimes you can't hear your own self going up. So we got Auburn in this one. Let's move over to stay in the SEC for a minute. It's Texas A&M on the road, Nick off at Mississippi State. There's something telling me this game is dangerous, Jonathan. I don't know what it is. It's just something that rose up inside my gut. It told me, watch out for Mississippi State in this game. Their defense is garbage. It's been playing bad, but the offense is starting to find life. At home, noon kickoff, could Mississippi State spring the upset?
No. Mississippi State, you gotta like what Fred Ross can do. He's a fun wide receiver, but no. Mississippi State is garbage. Anybody that loses to South Alabama, anybody who lets South Alabama hang around is not a good team. I think A&M takes care of business here. They're gonna win by, you know, double digits. I'm not willing to say it's gonna be a full scale blowout, just because I think A&M's gonna kind of, you know, slog their way through this. It's going to be a lot like that South Carolina game they played, where it was like right for Alabama, and you're like, yeah, you know, they're not going to go all nine into this. They're just kind of going to walk around this, hang out, yeah. They're going to win. And I'm seeing the same thing.
But, Quinn, I watched this Mississippi State game, and I literally watched it. And South Alabama, I think that's who it was, or Stanford, whichever one it was, just put up 600 plus yards on them. And if they can do that, A&M can, right, Quinn?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think it'll be much of a game. As much as I would love A&M to lose this game, I don't think they will.
I'm telling you what, guys, and we've been saying this, how long we've been doing this show, Jonathan? 5 years, 4 years, whatever. And I'm telling you, November is once November hits, the crap hits the fan. It's like we saw September, teams struggle, they find an identity. In October, you find out who you are, you play good or you're bad then. But November comes, and if you're not mentally tough, if you're not physically tough, you're exhausted in November. And I think this is where teams start slipping up a little bit. They got beat up against Bama. They got beat up against Auburn. They got beat up against Ole Miss. I mean, they've been beat up. And I think, Jonathan, this game could be scary. This could be a four-quarter game right here. A&M just got the news. They're in the playoffs right now at number four. They're overlooking Mississippi State, and it's a bad place to play. I mean, those cowbells, if you're playing good, those cowbells are ringing the entire game. If you, like Auburn did, and put up 21 on them real quick, they shut up, and those bells disappear. But if Mississippi State keeps this thing close early, they can be close late. So I'm going to pick A&M not to cover the spread. I'm taking the 13.5. Call me crazy. So let's move over to the ACC, where Florida State is on the road. At NC State, Jonathan, I know you're excited about this one. You're not scared at all about this game, are you?
No, not at all. We've always done well when we go to Raleigh.
Well, the line is 4 right now, I think, or 5. I can't remember. I have to look it up right now is what I'm trying to do. There's so many Florida teams. You can't type in Florida to search. It's full of like 12 teams. Florida State, 5-point favorite on the road. And the bad thing for Florida State, Jonathan, this game tonight. And NC State's been playing okay. They're kind of up and down, too. So which NC State team's going to show up? Which Florida State team's going to show up after that loss to Clemson? I mean, is that the end of the season? They're like, screw it, we got cheated out of it. How does Florida State respond to that loss? I think it matters. Because if Florida State plays good, they win. If they don't, they won't. It's that simple.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how this team shows up. I gotta imagine the offensive line just got their lunch handed to them all week. I said it at the time, and I'm gonna say it again. I have a feeling DeAndre Francois hates every member of that offensive line. Hates them. Like, wishes personal injury on some of them. Like, especially the center. He probably looks at that center and goes, why can't you get a concussion right now? Just go. You know, I heard that Florida State is working on another there might be a new center starting this week, which I like to hear. True freshman, not the greatest thing, but better than, you know, the jackass we have right now. honestly, I think Florida State, Dalvin and DeMarcus won't let the – well, DeAndre, Dalvin, and DeMarcus won't let this team quit. And that's what's – I think that's the key thing here. You have Francois, who just won't die. I mean, this offensive line has tried. He doesn't die. Dalvin is saying, look, all right, you idiots, I'm trying to win a Heisman here. Stop losing. Stop doing this. You have DeMarcus Walker, who's, you know, he hates losing, especially to Clemson, since he grew up a Clemson fan. You know that loss really killed him. Tavares McFadden leads the nation in interceptions. You know, there are certain guys on this team that you know are playing so hard, and they're working, and all they want to do is win games. At this point, they understand, look, we're not going to hit the ACC, we're not going to hit our two main goals, and that's the national championship and the ACC championship, but there's no reason to quit now and still not have a chance of winning double-digit games, because you win out and you win your bowl game, you finish with 10 wins. Is it a disappointment? Yeah. All right, we're all very disappointed in how this season's gone. We're you know, 5 points away from being probably right there in the top five, if not, you know, top 10 easy. You know, so I think net-net, if you had to ask me which Florida State team I think shows up, it's going to be the Florida State team that's not going to quit. And Showtime has a lot to do with that, because you know they're not going to quit and let themselves get punked when there's cameras following them around.
Man, Quinn, that game scares me. If I was betting, I wouldn't want to take my points. I'd take the money line at about plus 200, because Florida State is going to cover, and this team is too talented. I mean, it's time to rally together. And the fact that it's at night, I think it makes Florida State play better. It's prime time. ESPNU is covering it. God, it's hard to pick. I'm going to pick Florida State, Quinn. That's who I'm picking this game. It's a tough one because it's on the road. I think Florida State rebounds from that loss.
Yeah, I think Florida State wins also, but I think it's a close game, especially since it's at night. It's probably going to be crazy there. The fans are probably going to be going nuts since they're playing Florida State. So I expect it to be close, but I think Florida State will win.
That's the thing about Florida State. Even though they're not having the greatest year that they hoped for, Jonathan, they still have a bullseye on them. It's like, oh, this Florida State, let's play our best game of the season. that's how the ACC views Florida State. It's like, we're getting up for a game. It's Florida State, trust me. So,
that kind of bothers me.
Always hesitate. Why?
I guess it's kind of nice to be the hunted, but Florida State has lost 3 conference games, and people are starting to have funerals for them in conference. It's like, listen here, NC State, Virginia, Duke, Boston College, Miami, Pitt. Listen here, you peons, okay? We're Florida State. North Carolina beat us. Congratulations. It's what, the third time you've ever beaten Florida State? I mean, whoop-de-doo. Congrats.
Enjoy it.
And yay. I mean, enjoy it. Just know that next time you play Florida State, they're probably going to hand you your lunch because you're relevant twice every 10, 20 years. I mean, come on. Give me a break. You know, North Carolina State has beat Florida State once in 2012, and they think that they still have rights. It's like, no, you have no rights. Do you not remember what happened the next season when we beat you, 63-0? You not remember the next year where we spotted you 24 points and came back and beat you by 18? Like, come on, don't. What happened last year when your quarterback decided to take off and Derwin planted him into the dirt, and after that, your team quit? Again, the fan base is going to be loud. It bothers me this game's on ESPNU because I'm not used to games being on ESPNU. That's just weird for me. I can only imagine what half-ass broadcast crew we're going to get. You know, it blows my mind how people are going to start writing funerals for Florida State, not thinking, oh, wait a minute, they're still the best recruiting team in the conference. So they're going to be back next year with even more talent, and they're actually not going to lose a lot of these guys.
Oops. Jonathan, pay attention to the commentators, and I'm being serious. They're garbage. I mean, we were on the SEC Network last with Jesse Palmer and Brent Musburger, and this guy, Jesse Palmer's pretty good. Brent Musburger can't even pronounce names anymore. He doesn't even know what he's out there playing. Hell, the guy gets tackled, goes down to the ground. He's like, fumble. And he's like, what? Where? What? And Ed Stove. No, it's Eli Stove, Musburger. I mean, the guy is just, but you get to the ESPN News and Fox Fox Sports, they're some of the worst commentating. Nothing's worse than ESPN. We have that woman calling a game. I can't remember her name, but she sucks. You know
Bowen.
You suck when she's calling your name. Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh,
she's,
I feel so bad for
man.
Syracuse because they get stuck with her all the time. And you have it's Beth and it's Anthony Beck. And I see that and I'm like, nope, mute next. I mean, I cannot do it anymore.
Why would ESPN put Auburn and Vanderbilt on ESPN at noon? I mean, I think those commentators suck too, if I remember correctly. And then if you play ESPN game, all you hear Todd Backlund talk about his foodie. I just mute it and I put my headphones on and listen to the Auburn radio broadcast.
Yeah, but at least Blackledge games are, I mean, something wonky tends to happen in them. Side note about Florida State, just real quick, I want to get this out there. The officiating crew for that game against Clemson, Florida State's 1-4 when that crew is calling the game. 1-4. Notable losses.
Wow.
Clemson this year, North Carolina this year, Georgia Tech last year. I'm not saying, but I'm saying. Like,
are they doing the NC State game?
From what I heard, no thank God.
No, Jimbo would kill them if that was the case. That would be like that'd be like right now going out. We hadn't had rain over here in 6 months. That'd be like dropping cigarette out and a bunch of leaves, and that wouldn't be good. But Jimbo just almost had a heart attack the other night. But let's move on. We gotta go pretty fast. Georgia at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. The night game in Kentucky. Georgia favored 2 win. I'm kind of liking Kentucky in this game. They're playing with momentum. They're running the football. Georgia has to show me first. I mean, I'm hoping Georgia doesn't start playing well because usually when they suck, they start playing well around this time when they play Auburn next week and it's all hell breaking loose. But I just don't think this Georgia team has it up front. I'm sorry. I just don't, but they have stars everywhere. They can come at any time, but I think Kentucky beats them, Quinn.
Yeah, I think so also. I think Kentucky wins. Kentucky's gaining some momentum, and this Georgia team just hasn't been playing well all year. So,
Jonathan, who do you like?
I like Georgia because Kentucky's doomed to finish 5-7 again.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
I mean,
we're not
going to
spend a lot of time
right now,
on this game. But when you start questioning Kirby Smart, if he loses this game, that means he lost to Vanderbilt, he lost to Kentucky, he got blown out by Ole Miss. I mean, they almost lost to FCS school.
Nicholls State.
When you start questioning him as a coach, if he loses to Kentucky, I mean this is a team they acted like the cupboard was empty, Jonathan. They acted like Georgia is just rebuilding. This is a top 10 recruiting class every year with Mark Richt. They have talent on the field.
Yeah, a lot of it's young though. I mean, my thing with Georgia is wait till 2018 before we start doing anything to Kirby Smart. But we can't fire coaches after 1 or 2 years. It's just not how this works at a college level. NFLs, yeah, sure, we can have that conversation. At a college level, no, not even close. So let's give Kirby through the 2018 season before we start calling for his head. I don't want to be like Feinbaum and fire everybody.
Yeah. Did anybody hear that David's mother was arrested at the Florida at the beginning? Has anybody heard that?
Wait, what?
Whose mother?
Jalen Hurd's mother. Jalen Hurd for Tennessee.
No, really?
No, I'm just hearing things. Just look into that, if y'all don't mind, off the record, off air here. But let's move on. Big game, and there's a couple of big games in the Big Ten, and here's one that I'll talk about. Wisconsin at Northwestern, a noon kick. Wisconsin with a tough overtime win last week at home. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I did it earlier. Northwestern is my upset pick of the week in the Big Ten. I think they beat Wisconsin they get it done and Wisconsin's playoff hopes are dead. Jonathan, you're up.
Wisconsin just got through one heck of a gauntlet, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Iowa, Nebraska. You know, I know Michigan State hasn't been good this year, but, you know, we all thought that was going to be a good game. But you played four of, let's say, the top six teams in your conference in about a six-week stretch, you know, including two overtime games, hard-fought game against Iowa and Michigan. This is easily a letdown spot considering, you know, all that. Northwestern has really turned it around. Wisconsin always seems to have a tough time at Northwestern. So I'm with you here. I think Northwestern has an excellent chance of pulling off the upset against Wisconsin.
I think Wisconsin wins, but I think it'll be a close game. Northwestern's really starting to play well after they got off to a slow start. They're starting to play well. And I think it'll be close, especially since people don't look at that game as a rivalry game, but it is a rivalry game. But they both don't like each other, so it should be a good game.
All right, Nebraska, Ohio State. And, guys, there's two schools of thought here. Ohio State's going to come out and dust Nebraska and start playing well. They've been overlooking. That was a bad call in the World Series right now, just in case y'all just saw this. That guy did not catch the ball. The guy should be safe. I think you can review it, can't you, Jonathan? He never had control of that ball.
Yeah, there should be a review because I don't think he was safe either.
But anyway, so Ohio State, they lost to Penn State at home. I think the game was at home, yeah. They played last week against, was it Northwestern, and should have lost that game. Then here they are. Are they really that good to be a 17-point favorite over Nebraska, or is Nebraska really that bad? See, I think all three of them are true. I think Wisconsin's overrated. I think Nebraska's overrated. I think Ohio State's overrated. But I can't figure out, is it 17-point spread, Jonathan? I mean, maybe Ohio State does them. I don't know. They haven't done anything on the field to show me that they beat Nebraska by 17 this day, right now.
I agree. I think that line's too high. You have Ohio State, who obviously lost to Penn State in the whiteout. They struggled with Northwestern last week. You have Nebraska, who, I mean, they've played good this year. It hasn't been great. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think Ohio State's fixed their issues yet. I think the line's way too high. I like Nebraska in the points. Ohio State should win this game. It should be very similar to that Ohio State-Wisconsin game where Nebraska's out early and they're kind of, it seems like they're going to, you know, control this game from start to finish, and Ohio State just tears them down in the fourth quarter. And that's what I think is going to happen.
Quinn, is speed the reason the line's so high? Is Ohio State a lot faster than Nebraska? Maybe that's the problem, being on the road at night. Maybe Nebraska is just too slow to handle it.
Yeah, well, that and Nebraska's coming off a tough night game in Wisconsin, but I don't think Ohio State has shown anything to be a 17-point favorite. I think it's going to be a close game. I really don't know what's been up with Ohio State, but I think the spunk they're in will continue. I expect it to be close, and I could see what Jonathan said happening, where they're down most of the game, and then in the fourth quarter they pull it off.
Yeah, I don't think they deserve it. I'm going to pick Ohio State to win because Nebraska should be in the top 10, but Ohio State, maybe they shouldn't either. So we'll see. If Nebraska won, that would be funny. I think that would last a long time. I would just have a two-hour show where I just sit and laugh for 2 hours. It would be good comedy. Well, we can't end this college talk without talking about the biggest game of the weekend, Alabama, LSU. Jonathan, LSU, you are talking crap. Now they're going to dominate Alabama. Alabama is only a 7-point favorite in this game, surprisingly. their lowest spread of the year. LSU has found some kind of identity playing under Orton, a lot more energy, a lot more options in the offense, more passes down the field. Fournette's got something to prove here, guys. If he's going to want to get drafted, right, Jonathan, he wants to get drafted. If he has a bad game against Alabama, his stock plummets. I think he has to have a great game against Alabama and be considered great. I think they got to come out there and win the football game, really. I think it's going to be LSU's biggest effort of the season. They're going to give up all they got. The question is it going to be enough?
Yes. I'm taking LSU to win outright. I liked LSU to win this game before the year. I love the way they're playing right now. Their offense has been great. Their defense has been great. I really like LSU. I think Fournette has a big game. I think you're going to see either Dupree or Duvall have a big game. One of those receivers is going to get loose. And I think Arden Key makes Jalen Hurts' night a nightmare. I like LSU to win a great game. I think we're all going to really enjoy this one. The last one that Gary and Vern are going to call together.
Well, the last, what do you mean, the last Bama game or what? The last time they're going to call
Bama,
together?
The last Bama LSU night game.
Yeah. Well, Quinn, who do you like in this one? I know you're going to say Bama by 40.
No, I like Alabama by about 10. I think it will be a low-scoring type of game, but I just don't think LSU has enough, and their offensive pro style, running the ball straight up the middle, plays right into Alabama's hands.
It's not like that anymore.
Okay. Well,
have you not watched them play the last month?
I have. I still look at them as a pro style offense. I still don't think. I don't think Fournette will run for 50 yards.
How much do you want to bet on that?
I won't bet money on it since you don't live near me. But if you live near me,
I can mail a check. Do you have a checking account?
Yeah.
Can you mail cash and put it all up with a stamp to write my address and on it and put it in the mail? I don't have to live near you to bet. How much do you want to put on it? You name the price and we'll do it.
I won't bet it, but
because Fournette on 51 yards just to spite you.
All right, but here's the deal in this game. Alabama hasn't played. I know they played at Ole Miss and Arkansas. I know that, guys. It's not Baton Rouge. And here's what the Alabama defense has scored touchdowns in about every game this year. I don't think they do this time. They lost their best special teams player and defensive corner. Now, do not think that doesn't mean something big. Because what LSU is going to be able to do with these big receivers, they're going to be able to throw the ball, get some one-on-one matchups. Alabama loves to play man, and this is where LSU can capitalize. Not only that, like Jonathan said about Fournette catching the ball out of the backfield, the wheel route's going to be open too. People are going to ignore Fournette a couple of times. He may catch a couple 70-yard touchdown passes. But I think the problem is Alabama going to be to throw the ball down the field accurately. This is finally your team that can stop you. And this is kind of what they're going to see. What a Auburn game. When you watch LSU play them, just kind of imagine Auburn in that situation. In Tuscaloosa, Auburn defense can stop Alabama, and so can LSU. Ole Miss couldn't stop the run, so Alabama won, and they barely won that game, actually. They give up 30 on Arkansas, throwing on the road, threw for 400 yards, Allen did. I'm telling you, if Fournette wants to, he can have a good team in this one if he stays patient and waits for his holes. Jonathan, I'm with you, man. I think LSU, this is prime for an upset. If my question is, LSU wins, what does this do to Alabama's ranking? LSU's at 13, something like that. Alabama's at 1. You have to move them out of the top 4. You have to move Alabama out of the top 4 if they lose this one.
God, that would look so weird seeing A&M and Washington outranked ahead of Alabama. That'd be so odd. I don't know if they drop completely out. I think you have to keep them ahead. I think they'd keep them ahead of A&M. I think obviously LSU shoots into the top 10 just like it, I thought they'd be. Anyways, this is going to be a really good game. I really believe this is going to be a good one. Because now you're going to force Hurts to throw the ball. You're going to look at a secondary. I don't think Alabama scores a non-offensive touchdown. I think the streak ends in this game.
I agree. I almost had that a minute ago, but I forgot to.
Yeah, I mean, because that's Alabama gets a defensive score and they win this game. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But I think that streak ends. I've been talking about it. I think Fournette gets loose on a go route. I think one of the receivers is going to have a big game picking on a backup cornerback. This is prime for an upset. That Eddie Jackson injury is a lot better than a lot of people want to give it credit.
It is.
And, has Alabama played a game this tough? They got A&M at home. This is their toughest game of the year. There's no doubt about that. You're on the road at night at LSU against a team that is so fired up right now. Ed Orgeron knows if he wins this game, he's the head coach. He gets the job in the locker room. And I've heard reports.
People don't realize what you just said, how big that plays in. College football is emotion, Jonathan. And these guys are not only playing for themselves and each other, but now they're playing for the player. And you get a team that's playing for the coach, really playing for him, and they like him, big things can happen. I'm looking 23-17 LSU this game.
I mean, look how LSU played last year when Les Miles was on the chop block. And they were like, oh, they're going to fire Miles. Look how that team played for him at the end of the season. They came out, they played with so much fire, it didn't matter who they were playing. The huge win over A&M that saved his job, and the governor kind of helped on that. And now I really think Orgeron has the fan base behind him. I think he has the team behind him. And, this has been the talk for the last 2 weeks from what I've seen from LSU insiders is if Eddie O leads this team to a win over Alabama, he's going to get the job that day. That's going to happen. And that's why I like LSU so much here.
So I think Ed Orgeron is a clown. I think, if you hire the people everyone's around, you're going to suck. He may win the top this year, but in the next 3 years, he will never, as I repeat this, he'll never, ever, ever, ever make it to an SEC championship game, ever.
Hey,
the good old rallyer. He's a rally monkey they used to have. What team was that? They had rally monkeys. That's
Angels.
Not what he is.
Angel.
Yeah, he's a rally monkey. He's a rally monkey. But I think you're right. It's based off how could you go hire somebody else if the guy went without it. And even if he doesn't make it to Atlanta, if he finishes 10-2 with the bowl game 11-2, I'm still praying that he's coming there and tip Alabama over. I mean, I would love to see A&M lose another one, but the perfect scenario for Auburn would be for Alabama to win out. But you know what? I don't care. Go Tigers, go LSU this weekend. That's what I'm saying. I'm just ready to see a great football game. And Quinn, we'll end it with your Notre Dame playing 11:30 in the morning against Navy. I mean, my God, that's a ugly game. 11:30 in the morning? You gotta start that early?
Yeah, that'll be a tough game for Notre Dame. Navy usually always plays Notre Dame tough, and it's in their triple option is always something that can give team trouble. So I expect it to be a close game, but I think Notre Dame will pull it out this week. But it should be a really close game and a really tough game for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, how can he pull for Notre Dame? I don't know. I'll show you. $20, man. $20 on Fournette, 50 yards. You got it. $20. We're going to bet that on the air. Yes or no?
Nah.
Checking.
That's 100 in. Let's make it worth something. I'll bet with you. I'll take Fournette over 50 yards. You want to get work?
Well, I think Fournette gets over 50. Why am I taking that?
Okay, good. I just thought you'd be one of them. Yeah, Quinn's scared. Now, how about this, Quinn? You just come on the air and say, Brian, you were right. I was wrong as usual. That's all you got to say.
Okay, I'll do that.
But you got to make sure, as usual, it's seven there. All right, I'll type it out for you and email it to you.
Okay, so I have to say you are right as usual if you're right.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm wrong, I'll say again. I'm wrong as usual. So.
If I can jump in on this Navy Notre Dame game, y'all realize you're going to play Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, that's weird thing.
I didn't realize it.
Yeah, the game's in Jacksonville. You know what I'm going to see? You know what's going to happen in this game? Notre Dame's going to jump out to like a 14-0 or 21-7 lead early. People are going to be like, oh, well, there you go, Notre Dame, they're back. And then Navy's going to be up like 35-24 in the fourth quarter. And everybody, you're just going to look around and go, I don't know what happened, but it hurt. It hurt. Whatever just happened hurt. And Navy's going to score, running the same play over and over again, and Notre Dame's defense, I don't know how we stop this. Well, you just...
And Kelly comes out after the game and blames his team for being cowards and throws his defensive coordinator under the bus and all that other stuff.
Well, he already fired the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. I know, he's going to fire somebody else. I mean, that's how he does it. Real quick, we're going through these NFL games. All I need is a winner from you right now. We're going to start tonight. Atlanta on the road at Tampa. Jonathan, go.
Tampa.
Quinn.
Atlanta.
I'm not from Tampa, but I'm going to pick Atlanta. Quinn, Kansas City, Jacksonville.
Kansas City.
Jonathan.
Kansas City.
All right. And here's the deal. Just for the fire, their offensive coordinator today, Quinn. I had a little laugh, but. Jonathan, man.
They didn't fire
him. I know Jonathan. It's pretty bad, Jonathan. This team was number one. Gold Vikings, and they're number one power rankings in the NFL, and they're involved in the court. They just come in and quit. So he's like, hell with it. I'm done. Yeah, runs the ball. Can't score. What in the world happened to this team in a few weeks? They went from a 6-point favorite over Detroit. Give me Detroit, please.
Hi, Jason.
Where's Jason? If I had his number, I'd call him right now. We'd call him right now and say, Jason, we need to do a live interview with you.
I'm picking Detroit.
Yeah, there you go, Detroit or Minnesota. I'm taking the Lions.
I'll take Detroit.
All right. The Giants in Philly in New York. Quinn, go.
I'm taking New York.
I'm taking Philly. Who are you taking, Johnson?
Giants.
All right. Cowboys at Browns. Johnson, go.
This is a tough one. I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns. No, I'm kidding.
Me too.
Cowboys, all day.
I'm saying Cleveland. Quinn, go ahead.
I'm going with the Cowboys.
All right. Dolphins and Jets, Quinn. Big time quarterback.
Where is that? Is that in New York?
Does it matter? It's in my city, no.
I'll take the Jets.
Jonathan?
So it's in the it's in New York Junior.
No, it's in Miami.
No, yeah, it's in New York Junior. Because there's going to be more Jet fans there.
Oh, I think I just blew a call in this game. He looked out to me. We'll go to the replay and see. Got to stay at home. I don't know. I don't know, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Jets and Dolphins. You're picking. Who are you picking again? The Dolphins?
No, I'm going to take the Jets. The Dolphins suck and have always sucked.
I'm going to take the Dolphins. Let's
Jets.
See. I'm going to watch this replay. He's probably safe. And this one play, I'm right on it. How could you miss this call? He's safe.
He's safe.
Good call. Good call. Steve, good position. It's kind of hard. The guy, see, they teach you position, but how can you see if you're at the back of the catcher like that? Unless you're up closer, you cannot see him slide under. His instinct told him he slid under. But look at this umpire, where his positioning is. Look where he's looking. It's kind of hard to see around that catcher's big fat ass where he comes in at. Watch. So you see his foot slide under, but then you see the tag. It's still bad positioning by the umpire. I'm going with the Dolphins. Pittsburgh Steelers on the road to Baltimore, Jonathan. Who do you like? Baltimore's 3.
If Big Ben's not playing Baltimore, if Ben plays Pittsburgh.
He's
going to play?
Yeah.
Oh,
and Antonio Brown are playing.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
Quinn, who are you going with?
Well, since Big Ben's playing, I'll take Pittsburgh.
I'm going with Baltimore at home. The big rival for home, they're going to win. Here's a good one for everybody. The Saints at the 49ers, Quinn. Go.
Saints.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Jonathan?
Saints.
Uh-oh.
I hate saying that.
All right, and here's a tricky one now. People think Carolina looked back last week. They played better, but since Cam Newton came up in his leotard complaining about the issue at L.A., favorite 3, Jonathan. Panthers, I'm going to take them because they look like their defensive line figured out how to play last week, and I don't think the Rams can really score a lot of points. So I'm going to go with the Panthers on the road to get done. Jonathan, who do you like?
Rams.
Quinn?
Panthers.
And Jonathan's a hater. He's a hater. All right. Colts at Packers. Jonathan.
Packers.
And I'll tell you this, there's no Monday Night Football with the Bears on it. Let's congratulate Quinn real quick for that big Bears victory up in Minnesota. Oh, my God.
I like the Packers, too.
Yeah, the Colts. I got the Colts couldn't stop somebody if they had to. So Aaron Rodgers may throw 400 this game and appear to be back, but we really know he's not. San Diego at home favored 5 over the Titans, Jonathan. I've got to go with the Chargers. I don't know why this line's not higher.
Because the Chargers really aren't that good, but I'm going to go with the Chargers as well.
They're the best 2-5 team out there, man. That's Carolina.
Oh, wow, so the Chargers are Ole Miss.
Yeah, the Cubs with a 1-run double, 3-1 Cubs, top 4. Quinn, who you got?
I got the Chargers.
All right, and the Raiders on Sunday Night Football. The Raiders, I pick them against the Broncos. How in the world could you go against Oakland right now, Quinn?
Is it in Denver?
No, it's in Oakland. It wouldn't be a pick 'em if it was in Denver.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with Denver. I think their defense will do enough, and then I think Oakland's defense isn't very good. So I think Denver can put up some points, and I think Denver's defense will be able to stop Derek Carr, or at least contain him.
Sucker bet, Jonathan. Sucker bet.
I'm taking the Broncos. Any team that commits 23 penalties is not good. Who have the Raiders beaten? Before you say they're 6-2, look at who they've beaten. You're like, oh, those teams suck.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the. I'm gonna go with the Raiders. This is a great Monday Night Football game. Seattle and Buffalo. Here's the deal. Will it be a tie in overtime? Will Seattle score a touchdown? Win.
I think Seattle wins.
Well, obviously they're going to score. So, Jonathan, who do you like in this one?
Seattle. West Coast teams.
Jonathan's throwing that in that baseball game. He can't even focus.
Well, I was thinking about it. West Coast teams going east are 11-1 against the spread over the past 5 years, I want to say it is. So I'm going to go with the Seahawks here, just because West Coast teams do really good on Monday night games in the east.
All right. In the football, so Quinn, give me your prediction of the presidential election. Will we have Donald Trump and office Hillary Clinton? Will these emails and this corruption be enough to put Donald Trump at the top? In some states, you can change your vote. If you early voted, you can go in and change it. Some states, you have to check. But Quinn, who are you projecting?
I think Hillary wins. I think it's also rigged, and I think the media wants Hillary in, and I think the bigwigs want Hillary in. So I think Hillary's going to win.
Do you think she's going to come in just to be indicted, to win the election, just to be indicted for Tim Kaine to be president? Jonathan, I mean, I think the media has missed this. These polls they take are with people that don't want to tell the truth, and somebody came up and asked me, I'd tell them it's none of their business. But I think this election is supposed to be people taking it. I just think it may be even more lopsided in their thinking. I just can't imagine people that would come out there and vote for Hillary Clinton right now after what's come out. I couldn't imagine that. But, hey, I think crazier things happen. So who are you projecting?
I heard that all the polls, I can't remember where the report came out, but there was a report that came out that all the polls that show Hillary with an advantage just put knock like 5 points off because they're overinflating her. I think Donald actually pulls out this election. I think this scandal is going to do enough to where you're going to see a high level of voters not even showing up that would vote for her, or they were going to vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein or, you know, an independent. I think Trump wins this election. It's going to be really weird, Willy Wonky. This election sucks, dude. It is terrible.
Here's something that doesn't make sense to me, okay? This doesn't. It's a church in Mississippi. Now, think about it. Mississippi is more Republican and everything. A church burned with vote Trump in white on the outside of it. Do you honestly think a Trump supporter would go burn a church down, Quinn? I mean, this is Hillary Clinton at its finest right here, paying somebody a couple thousand dollars to go burn a church.
Dang, that's crazy. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that's seriously, this is ridiculous. I mean, if they go low, she goes high. Right?
Well,
I can see her crawling up on her high chair. Or standing up. But no Republican would go burn somebody's church. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just not buying it. And that vote Trump was written by a homeless person on the side of the road, probably. I don't know. But I just don't think the two go together. I mean, that vote Trump could have been on there before the church burned, for all we know. But I just, CNN's reporting it. That's why I brought it up. CNN, and given the questions to Hillary and all that's been caught. But this is a bad state of our country right now where we got either one of these fools to take office. That's what disappoints me the most is this is all we have to choose from. You know, we're a sports show here, but we're human beings too. And I would never tell anybody who to vote for or how to vote. If both of you voted Trump or Hillary, it wouldn't change my opinion of either one of you. But my problem is have you ever seen a nastier election process in your life that's just been all slinging the whole time, every day? I mean, it doesn't slow down either. I mean, and it's, other countries right now see that. You know, we're a laughingstock of a lot of people right now because of the two people we have in office. That could be in office next Tuesday. But anyway, I just had to let that out there. And here's some advice to Obama out there. Keep your mouth shut. You're done anyway. Just shut up. Nobody wants to hear you talk anymore. We've heard enough of you. So just shut up.
You know, my funny thing about Obama is he keeps saying, you know, Trump's not qualified, or he's not this, or he's not that. And it's like, dude, those are the same things that people who were going against you were saying. So everything about this whole, he's not qualified, he's not this, and he's not that, it's like, hello, pot, meet kettle. You know, and it blows my mind, the level of...
He said Trump is going to destroy his legacy. What has he done?
What legacy? I don't... What? You got Obamacare passed, and then we find out that everything about Obama, the premiums are going up. I mean, you know,
can't even afford insurance.
Our current president blows my mind with his level of stupidity, and what bothers me even more is the people that said he's the first black president. No, he's half. Okay, we don't have our first black president just because his absentee father was black doesn't mean he's black. This was our first Hawaiian president. He was born in Hawaii. He's our first Hawaiian president. That's going to be my stake to claim because he was raised by white people. this isn't like somebody who came out of Southside Chicago and had this great story. I mean, you were raised in a pretty decent upcoming. So don't tell me about your struggle. You know, our current president just annoys the hell out of me. He really does.
Yeah.
He's done some things that just make me shake my head and go, really? The biggest thing is he's made a lot of the same mistakes Jimmy Carter's made, and everybody rails against Jimmy Carter. And he wasn't qualified. He was a peanut farmer. One of our best presidents in recent history is Ronald Reagan, and he was an actor.
It may offend people listening. I mean, we're just for show. We're just giving our opinion. But he hasn't done anything except weaken the United States military. Congratulations, Obama. You've accomplished your mission and broke every working American small business owner. Congratulations. Now go give speeches. You look like you've got AIDS and 90 pounds over here. I mean, get off the screen. Everybody's tired of you. I mean, even Democrats are like, please get him out of here. But anyway, we're doomed. I mean, Obama, a complete failure. Trump, a complete failure. Clinton, a complete failure. I mean, let's just put Pence in there right now. Let's just put Whoopi Goldberg in office right now. She's better than those other people. I mean,
No. Don't you dare stick one of them from The View in there. That'll be terrible. You kidding me? Whoopi Goldberg with Rosie O'Donnell's VP?
Well, it'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
The world would end.
Donald Trump's Twitter account would go crazy, wouldn't it? I'm going to tell everybody this, and they don't realize it, but Twitter is going to be one of the main reasons Donald Trump wins this election, just so people know. I mean, you look at Twitter, and I'm going right now. People don't realize this, but Donald Trump on Twitter has 12.8 million followers. That's a lot of people to follow somebody, okay? That's a lot. Now let's go to Hillary. Remember my number, what, 12.8? She's got 10.1. That's almost 3 million, Jonathan, difference in Twitter followers. Donald Trump follows 40 people. She follows 758.
Yeah.
I don't even think she follows Bill. Let's see how many Obama's got. 78 million followers. 78 million.
I mean, the big thing with Hillary is same thing Obama did was that they tried to get these. Obama was at least successful because he didn't have any opposition. John McCain was not opposition. I don't care what he says, and that kind of entrenched Obama into the White House. Hillary tried with these Twitters where she has campaigns in different states and different areas, and they all kind of bombed out pretty quickly. You know, they thought social media was going to be a big boom here, and you know, you're looking at two senior citizens, whether you want to admit it or not, 68, 70, they're both senior citizens, where it's like, yeah, no, we don't take your Twitter name seriously. You know, Hillary poses all these questions on Twitter, and when she gets back 90% of the time are snark remarks. It's great. So I think social media will keep swaying elections in the near future, but because Trump's Twitter account has been a more fun account to follow in all reality, he has an edge there. You know, it all comes down to what people really think coming out of those debates, what the candidates actually, what their actual message is, because you have 100 days where you essentially kind of, you know, after you're elected to try and get some things done before the world comes crashing on you. And I just don't know what either one of these candidates really is going to try and do. We might need to start a draft for the military. Well, maybe you shouldn't have made them start kicking people out left and right. You know, if you let people enlist, you don't need a draft. Like, that's one of my biggest things that blows my mind with Democrats. Yep. They're so against war, but now they want to institute a draft. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a tweet that kind of made me disturbed about, you know who Clay Travis is, right, the sports guy?
Don't even get me started.
Now, this bothers me, Quinn. You know who Clay Travis is, Quinn?
I've heard of him, yeah.
He says, I didn't think it was possible for Marcus Mariota to get hotter, and then he grew a mustache. What kind of man would say that about another one? You know, I mean, really?
He's gay.
He's not gay.
I think he's married.
Oh, he's not gay.
No, he's
just stupid. But it's just, we're talking about sports. That's what disturbs me. This is sports, and he's talking about something like that. I mean, like, come on, dude. Just talk football, Clay Travis. He's the one that got popular for bashing Alabama and for all those years, and this guy is stupid. If you say anything to him on Twitter, he deletes it and he unfollows you when you make him look stupid. He's such an idiot.
I actually have two of his books. He wrote one about Phil Fulmer's last season at Tennessee, which was pretty good. And then he wrote one where he actually went to a different SEC game every week in a different stadium. That was pretty decent. But I mean, I turned against him during the you know, when he decided that Florida State was the school of Satan.
Home run Cubs. Well, guys, we're going to go. I wanted to talk about Tennessee and Jalen Hurd real quick. Jonathan, I think he dropped the ball. I think he just killed his NFL stock, anything he ever thought about doing. Very selfish what Jalen Hurd has done right now, based off what I know. Something could change and there'd be a reason for it. But Jalen Hurd just killed his draft stock, leaving his team hung out to dry like this. I think it's coward. I think it's just a cowardly act. What do you think? Real quick, 2 seconds.
I disagree. I think there's a culture problem in Tennessee.
Why?
He's trying to get away from that culture problem.
You don't quit in the middle of a season. You don't quit.
We don't know everything that's going on there, but from what I've heard,
exactly,
there's nothing good going on there.
and you're right, and I said that. There's something else could be going on, but based off what I know right now. Quinn, what do you think?
I just think it's bad to leave your team like that and wait till the end of the year and announce it. Do it with some dignity.
I agree with Jonathan. I think there's a lot more to it.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back Sunday night. Talk a little everything, all right? We'll talk a little bit about everything. So thanks for joining me. You guys have been great. No hockey.
Damn it.
No hockey. Maybe. we may let you talk 2 minutes into it, okay?
Yes.
All right, guys. God bless. Take care. Go vote. And we'll see you soon.
Go Cubs.
All right.
Four Eagles.